I invite you now to open your copies of God's Word in Matthew, chapter 5. We'll be reading from verses 33 to 37. Jesus is speaking here. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray before we begin. Lord, we ask that you would be with our souls. Spirit, that you'd be with our minds. Open them up now and our hearts to receive of your word. Jesus, I ask that you would help us to come to greater, or to have a greater grasp of what it is to be within your kingdom, to be kingdom people. A great sermon that you preached, O Jesus. I pray that it will be applicable to us today as it was back then. That the way that you looked at your disciples then, you would look at your disciples here right now. In the same manner, I ask, as you sought to edify them, prepare them to go out into the world, you would prepare us to do the same. And so I pray that your great name would be made known and that you would encourage, raise the hope and joy of this people here today. And so in your name's sake, I ask this. Amen. One of the greatest threats to the stability of society is the slow eradication of truth. And it is a sign that when lies are preferred to the truth, well, it's a sign then that Satan has dominance in that society. It is the sign that the devil, as the father of lies, has an aggressive stranglehold on the people. When lying becomes an expectation to the norm. We have even lately made up words and terms to grab a handle on the dishonesty and the lack of integrity of our times. Terms like misinformation, synonymous with disinformation, are thrown about on a daily basis. Terms which we now employ to identify the purposeful and the deliberate attempts to use data, statistics, news reports, just about anything and everything to mislead and to deceive, misdirect. And whatever the social medium, whether it's X, Facebook, TikTok, the mainstream media, TV, news, I don't think that we can identify one media source or outlet that will not and does not already use misinformation or disinformation to advance their agenda. What is most concerning, though, having said all this, is the world's disinterest with truth. It seems like this world is becoming all the more gullible, accepting whatever is heard as truth without challenging the integrity. It's a sort of intellectual laziness to believe anything that we are told by the world that has already demonstrated its distinct lack of integrity. I find that the most amazing of us as Christians, but even the populace in general, that we are willing to accept what the world tells us to believe, even though we've already seen and proven that the world itself is lacking in integrity, yet we hold what it says as integral to our living. I'm flabbergasted by it, how lacking in integrity the world has and how easily we are willing to believe it. I wonder, does anyone here remember the famous slogans that the world told us, especially the one that said, we just need 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Remember that? Or how we heard that vaccines will prevent transmission. And we heard that masks work. And then we heard that masks don't work. The same people who told us to believe them pleaded to their highest authority. They swore truthfulness by the science. Many believe the science. However, it is that same science that they tell us to believe which declares evolution is how humans have come to be on this earth. It's that same science that declares humans, well, that's you and me, share a common ancestor in a chimpanzee. It's that same science that tells us that the earth has evolved over billions and billions of years rather than the 7 days of God's good creation explained in the Bible. Those of higher authority are those who tell us to believe them because they swear by a higher authority. And so the world has believed many lies. Lately, we are told to believe there are not two genders, but there are innumerable genders. To believe that Black Lives Matter. To believe that all land is owned by the indigenous. To believe that all white people are inherently racist. That's most of you right here. You're racist. I'm olive-skinned, so I'm not as racist, but most of you are racist. And to believe that reparations must be given to marginalized people. Our leaders tell us to believe them as they swear by the science, or by academia, or by philosophies. And yet our global leaders, have not proved themselves with integrity. They've also played loose with the truth. Consider the history of global leaders, especially in the States, as in President Richard Nixon with Watergate. Think about who's next? We can think about President George W. Bush with the weapons of mass destruction, or President Bill Clinton and his relationship with Monica Lewinsky. Who is telling the truth? Who's even telling the truth in Gaza? Are the Jews telling the truth? Are the Palestinians telling the truth? Or even closer to home, just recently, I don't know if you've been watching the news, but our fearless Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, said that he would bring tax cuts. But now he proceeds to break a promise. And the caveat in this, so cleverly made, is that he's not really breaking an election promise. He will keep some tax cuts, just not all of them. See, he hasn't lied, but he certainly didn't keep his word. Truth. It's not just a matter of swearing by a higher authority. Truthfulness is not founding someone merely for making a vow in higher office, who makes an oath, who makes promises. Truthfulness is not founding someone merely because they swore by a higher authority, but truthfulness is found in those who say they will do something and they do it. Or say they won't do something, and then they don't do that. Truthfulness, says Jesus, is making your yes and your no your very oath, and with veracity to keeping your word. That makes someone truthful, believable, dependable, trustworthy. This is what Jesus is addressing in this very part of Scripture, the importance of truth. Jesus teaches that the character of kingdom people should be one of integrity. Christian people are those who hold truth to be sacrosanct. Those who belong within the kingdom of heaven do not, says Jesus, nor should they have to rely on oaths to give credibility to their word. Listen to what Jesus said. Hear now the word of God. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. Jesus is concerned here with how his disciples will be perceived. Do you remember where he's at? He's on a mountain, sitting down. Possibly his 12 disciples are in front of him. He's just talking to them, but there's a crowd or so gathering around, eavesdropping. And he's bringing up the culture of the time. He's concerned how his disciples are going to be perceived regarding the culture of his time. He wants his disciples to be people of integrity. And so Jesus begins addressing the culture of the time. He says, it was said that if you swear or you make a promise to do something, say something, and if you do it swearing in the name of the Lord, then you were compelled to do it. That's what he says in verse 33. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. Here Jesus has a few Old Testament truths in mind when he speaks about this swearing falsely. In Leviticus 19:11, listen to what it says there. In the Old Testament, there was a law, and it was given and said, you shall not steal, you shall not deal falsely, you shall not lie to one another. So to deal falsely is to get involved in any transaction. To deal falsely is to get involved in any transaction knowing that all the truth hasn't been just disclosed. So the Bible says, don't do that. Summary, just don't lie to one another. And the very next verse of that passage in Leviticus, he says, you shall not swear, God speaking, by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. So not should you not only lie, but in trying to sound credible and knowing that you may not be telling the truth or you're speaking in half-truths, the Bible is saying, don't go on to swear using God's name to try and persuade your neighbor you're telling the truth. Don't use God's name to assure someone you will do something when you know you may not do it. He says that's dealing falsely. To use God's name loosely, or to use the name of God so to make an assertion, to try and prop up your credibility, to use the name of God to substantiate your word with false pretenses, when you know not everything is above board, to swear in God's name, to create misinformation or disinformation, to swear while using God's name, knowing you may go back on your word, is to profane and defile the name of God. It's to use God's name in vain. That's the meaning of the third commandment that says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So to take the name of the Lord in vain is using the name of God very loosely. It's trying to give credibility to a potential lie. I just believe me in the name of in God's name, as God is my witness. To say that you will do something when there is a good chance that you won't, and swearing you will in God's name, is to take the name of the Lord in vain. See, this swearing an oath using the name of God is what Jesus has in mind here. It's not a problem. Well, he's not addressing the problem or the prohibition of vulgar speech. Sometimes we think that. Well, you just swore. It's not about cussing or using rude words. It's not about four-letter words here. Jesus has us consider the verbal contract in which we engage, the vows and the promises we make, what we swear upon, the oaths we make to substantiate what we say. So Jesus says this. He's saying, you have heard already by many teachers, rabbis, and Pharisees, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. Jesus says, I know you've been taught. I know you've been taught about that already, to not swear falsely. Don't swear about something is true when it is false. Don't make an oath and then not do it. I know you've been taught to fulfill everything you have sworn to do. But verse 34, but I say to you, do not take an oath at all. Don't even do it. Jesus says, don't even swear by anything. Don't make any oath to prop up what you say is true. Don't make oaths to pronounce your holiness. Don't make oaths at all, he says, either by heaven,
for it is the throne of God,
or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. I think Jesus is getting pretty clear. Don't make any oath to guarantee your word, says Jesus. Now, Jesus here is not prohibiting all swearing and all oaths. He is not prohibiting, oh, don't you dare, if you go to a courtroom and put your hand on the Bible to swear and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He's not getting at that. He's not saying you cannot become a doctor because, oh, then you have to swear the Hippocratic Oath. It's not his focus here. Don't join the military. He's not talking about all oaths, because the Old Testament and the New Testament is full of oaths. Even God makes an oath. In Hebrews 6, we hear God say, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. Jesus, as he's approaching Calvary, will also be placed and then answer under an oath given to him by the high priest. I wonder if you ever saw that, Matthew 26, verse 63. You know the scene. The high priest said to him, to Jesus, I adjure you, meaning in the original and still even in English, I'm going to put you on the oath. I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus answers under that oath, you have said so. You see, the problem Jesus is addressing here is not so much a literal banning of oaths and vows, but he's addressing the reckless use of truth. You see, because in the time, the religious elites, you had the scribes, which were the lawyers of the word of and the law of God. You had the Pharisees, which are the police officers of the law of God. The very leaders of the Jewish people, in order to look holy, to sound righteous, to prop up their credibility, to sound truthful, believable, dependable, and trustworthy, they would tie oaths to their very word. They would just grab holy things and swear upon them. They would come very close to invoking the name of God with what they said they would do, but they never would swear by the name of God. They would say something like, believe me upon the heavens, or believe I'm going to do it. I swear upon the very earth itself. I swear on the city of God, on Jerusalem. And it made him sound so holy and so righteous. You see, the culture was taught to believe that the objects of God, they all held differing degrees of holiness. And so an oath was binding to the degree of holiness it had. The closer to God, the more holy and the more value it held, and the more credibility it placed upon their word. But you see, they wouldn't invoke the name of the Lord to make an oath, which is of course the highest degree of holiness. See, they wouldn't invoke the name of the Lord in the oath just in case they didn't do the oath. You see, they may not end up doing what they swore to do, and by taking an oath in the name of the Lord, not doing it would break the highest commandments. So they would swear on holy objects. They would sound all righteous and holy. And they would prop up their credibility with their many oaths, always with the option to bow out of what they swear without any repercussions of breaking the law, because there's no real law broken. I'm making an oath on the heavens. I'm making an oath on the earth, on the city of God itself. But I never made an oath on the name of the Lord. Oh, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. Well, they knew they were never bound by the oaths unless they used God's name. And so they use objects of creation. So if they broke the Lord, it's okay. But they made themselves look righteous, you see, by speaking that way. And see what Jesus says, what oaths were usually placed upon? He says, heaven, the earth, Jerusalem. But Jesus says, heaven? Well, that's the throne of God. He's making us ask the question, if it's the throne of God, shall you wager your words with his kingdom? He says, the earth, well, it's God's footstool. The earth is subject to God. Are you going to usurp God's ownership? And Jerusalem, it's the city of the great king. Are you the king that you can lay claim on the holy city of God? Do you see what Jesus is saying? Everything that you base an oath upon to make yourself credible is already owned by God. So when we swear, or when we take an oath, we bring down that which we do not own. And then we leverage that with our word. So we're using God and what he owns to validate our words. Jesus says, and he's agreeing, you may not invoke the name of God directly. Okay, you're not invoking the name of God directly while making an oath of heaven or the earth or Jerusalem or your mother or your kidney. But if you swear by anything in creation, that's his. You do indeed invoke the name of God indirectly, just to make yourself sound credible. So by making these oaths, using what is God's, you make God the guarantor of your word. You see what he's saying? You are connecting God to the veracity of your word. So if you end up lying after that oath, God is connected to your lie. If you end up not performing what you swore to perform, God is then connected to your untrustworthiness. Jesus says, even if you swear on your own life, verse 36, and do not take an oath by your head, your noggin, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Hidden within this little quip is a reference to life and death. Do you read it like that? What do you think it means? Like, sure, you can dye your hair. I know most of you women do. Some of you men do. But a reference to white or black? See, the older I become, the more I start to see, we call them grey hairs. The Bible calls them white hairs. Do you have the power of aging? Do you have control when you were born, your youth of black hair? Were you in control of your older years of white hair, or will you determine the day that you die? You can't control or change your any time frame of your life, Jesus is saying. What makes you think that you can use your head, your life, to make an oath? So now comes Jesus' exhortation for us. You don't need to make oaths to be credible, beloved, he's saying to his disciples. Guys, you don't need to swear like the scribes and the Pharisees, because your word should be your oath. Verse 37, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Look, just picture it. He's just talking to them simply. When you say yes, let it be a yes. When you say no, let it be a no. That is your oath. No oaths are needed for the follower of Jesus. Their word, the disciples' word, is bound by their truthfulness, and their integrity is witnessed by the manner of their living. This life of living without needing oaths, you can see what Jesus is doing. If you just stop for a little while just to contemplate that, he's eventually going to start fighting with Pharisees. You can start seeing what he's getting at when he begins, that he says that your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Because this life of living without needing oaths, which is what all the scribes and Pharisees did, is different to their living. The scribes and the Pharisees, they endorse their truthfulness, their righteousness, by making oaths on holy things. Jesus says to his disciples, you shall be different. Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. You would not need to make oaths, for your lives shall speak truth. You shall be salt and light, says Jesus. It will be the light that shines from your living that brings the glorious truth of God to the world. He's trying to tell us, you don't need oaths to substantiate the truth that's inside you. For your truthful and faithful living will substantiate your words. Jesus tells us that let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let your yes be a simple yes and your no be a simple no. Jesus says anything more than that is evil. Or if you see that little note there in your Bible or from the evil one. So in this context, what Jesus means, anything more such as swearing falsely or making oaths upon holy things, the heavens, the earth, Jerusalem, without a true intention to carry out any misinformation, any disinformation, any half-truths, broken promises, going back on your word. He says this comes from evil. Or this is from the evil one, according to, it depends how you want to read it. And of course it is, isn't it? You know, in fact, later on, Jesus will confront the scribes and the Pharisees and he would tell it to their faces, the Lord. The Lord just hammers them. And he will say in John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil." Has anyone ever said that to their enemy? Now, seriously speaking now, because I want you to actually look at Jesus like this. Has anyone actually walked up to someone and said, "You are from the father, the devil"? And Jesus is just looking at them. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will." Listen out now. "Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies," talking about the devil, "he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Do you hear what Jesus says? The devil does not stand in the truth. There is no truth in him. So when he lies out of his character. So then the devil, he becomes the father of lies. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees and to the scribes, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." So they will also lie, like the father the devil lies. You see the connection that Jesus is making? Jesus would then say, "But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me." Beloved, the disciples of Jesus have truth because they have Jesus. You see, Jesus told the world, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus went on to say, "What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Jesus also revealed to us, "Truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do." And before Jesus ascended to heaven, he promised all his disciples. He said to them, "I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you." He said, "There will come a day when his disciples will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you." Beloved, Jesus doesn't merely stand on truth. Jesus is the manifestation of truth. Jesus is truth. So when Jesus speaks, he speaks truth because it's in his character to speak only truth. Jesus speaks also as one with the Father. And if Jesus is the truth and he speaks as one with the Father, you, who Jesus has not left as orphans, but you who are in Jesus and Jesus in you, you will also do the works of Jesus. You are called the disciples of Jesus. You are also called the sons of God. And the sons of God will do the will of their Father. Like Jesus, The Son of God tells the truth because it's the character of Jesus. Oh, don't you see it now? You, sons of God, who are in Jesus and Jesus in you, shall also be known by the character of truthfulness. That is why Jesus said, let your yes, just simply yes, be yes, and simply no. Because he's trying to teach his disciples, kingdom people have a character of truthfulness. And if you're kingdom people, you should be marked by the character of your simple yes or no. Why? Well, because anything else is from the evil one. And because you are not evil, nor from the evil one. The disciples of Jesus, they will not need to swear by the name of the Lord or make oaths on any holy things, whether it's heaven, the earth, Jerusalem, or their own head. They simply speak truth. A simple yes or no. Because their character, your character, is like your heavenly Father. Your character is like that person who's in you, the truth. Jesus says, this is what kingdom people look like. This is what it looks like to have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Your righteousness is him in you, the truth in you. Jesus says the church should be known as those who once they give their yes to something, they do it. And when they say no, it's held without needing to resort to an oath to make their word believable. In other words, so consistent are kingdom people in what they say, they will have a track record of speaking truth by keeping their word, of doing what they say they will do and doing it. And their reputation, our reputation, Providence's reputation should precede them. They don't need an oath for their word to be enough. Their yes is yes, and their no is no. And by she using their words, their very word is their oath. Now, before I move on, I must make a clarification. Some people get hung up and they say, I've already given my yes, so I must do it. If you find yourself going to sin, or morally ambiguous in what you're doing, is it not incumbent upon you to say then no? The church must stand apart from the misinformation and the disinformation, stand apart even from the leaders that plead to authority. Our authority is the Lord Jesus Christ and his inerrant and infallible eternal word. How will we retain our saltiness in the earth unless we are seen as believable and dependable and trustworthy? How will we retain the light of truth in this darkened world unless we are the truth tellers? It's all about two virtues, truthfulness and integrity. They work together. When we say we shall do something, let us do it. Integrity. When we say we shall do something or give our word, we shall be believed because, well, our works will prove it. If we are not believed by our very words, how shall anyone believe the very words we speak about Jesus? In a world of misinformation and disinformation, it matters all the more today for kingdom people to be known as truth tellers. Providence, if we are not known by the integrity of our lives, lived under the very mercy and grace of God, and if we as the church are not known by the veracity of our truthfulness and our resolve to do what is true and right, how can we be salt and light? How will the church influence the world? You can see how it's going for us so far, can't you? How can we influence anybody if we say yes and then really mean no and no when we really mean yes? How can we be credible when we are those who speak through the side of our mouths, who tell half-truths? You know what we should be, beloved? Within this church, we should live as hardliners holding to truth at all costs, without needing to swear on anything or making any oaths. Our lives will validate our word. Our truthfulness is what prohibits profaning the name of the Lord. Our integrity is what endorses our words. But I must remind you, it is ultimately Jesus as truth himself that must be believed. He is the stumbling block. So I'm praying that we as a church not become the stumbling block of lies that prevents the message of the gospel from being heard. However, we ultimately subject ourselves to the sovereignty of our good God, and he will determine the scope of the gospel and the efficiency in the salvation of his elect. Allow me to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that even though sometimes, Jesus, you speak in a way that seems like you're saying something else, the whole gamut of your word gives greater light to revealing more of what you mean, what you desire, but also of who you are. Help us, Spirit, to truly believe that when we see Jesus, we see the Father. And everything that Jesus said, he said, he spoke of what the Father told him. And everything that Jesus did, he did the will of the Father. So that when we believe that Jesus and the Father are in us and we in them, that we shall speak everything that Jesus is, all his truth, and we shall do the same works as Jesus, living for the will of God. I ask that you would bless this church and your very word in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.